Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to take just a few moments, and then I would like us to respond to what I want to share. I want to talk to you a little bit about the spirit of Christmas. You know, we hear about people talking about the spirit of Christmas, and most people have the idea that the spirit of Christmas is joy, it's generosity, it's the sense of doing good to others. But really, when you read through the scripture, it becomes instantly very, very clear what the spirit of Christmas is all about. For example, the very first people that you meet, you have Zechariah and Elizabeth, this godly priest, the parents of John the Baptist. And Elizabeth, when she sees Mary, who is now pregnant with the Lord Jesus, she immediately bursts into worship and says, you know, blessed be the mother, blessed be the child, blessed be the one who has believed that what the Lord had said to her would happen. And then Zechariah, when John the Baptist is born, I mean, he takes the baby in his arms and he says, blessed be the God of Israel. And he goes into this incredible praise from verse 67 all through the end of the chapter, verse 80. He's just worshiping the Lord and filled with worship. And then you get to Luke chapter 2, and we looked at some of that on Sunday and in the program. And in verse 13 of Luke chapter 2, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. So what's the response of the angel armies, which is really the way to understand that? They worship, they glorify God. And then you have the shepherds, and they come to see Mary and Joseph and the baby. And we read this in verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and they had seen. What do the shepherds do? Nobody's telling them what to do. They intuitively know that when you hear the news of a Savior and you know the Savior or you see the Savior, the only appropriate response is worship. It's very, very interesting. I mean, it's just almost like Luke chapter 1 and 2 is just a choir. I mean, with different people singing solos. You get to chapter 2 a little later, and now you've got Simeon, and we read this, Simeon took him in his arms. This is a man who all of his life, the Lord had told him he wouldn't die till he saw the Christ. And he sees Mary and Joseph in the temple courts. They're bringing Jesus to circumcise him and to announce the name that they are going to give him. And he takes the baby in his arms, and what's he doing? He worships. And then coming up to them at that very moment in verse 38, there's a godly widow by the name of Anna, and she's 84 years old. And she, what does she do? She gives thanks to God. She worships. The worship isn't just confined to Luke's gospel. I mean, even wicked people understood that the whole response, the appropriate response to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would be to worship Herod. In Matthew chapter 2, he sent the Magi to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. He didn't intend to, but he understood that would be the right response. It's very, very interesting to look at the Christmas story, and as wonderful as family relationships are, and if you have a family you get together with, you're very, very blessed. If you don't, you've got God's family, and there's no reason for you to be alone. Get in a life group, get around people, and be a part of God's family. But the spirit of Christmas is worship. And let me just define worship this way. It's the attitude of the heart where your heart is so filled with wonder and with awe and with thanksgiving at the person and the work of God, that you well up in a praise and adoration of the one who came to save you. If ever there was a time of year when we ought to be filled with the kind of praise that looks at him and is just in awe of him, it's Christmas. Yeah, what happens is, in so many instances, you got the office party and you got family gatherings and you've got other things and all these things, you got recitals and programs and all this stuff is crowding your time. And if you're not careful, it's possible to go through the Christmas season and never do the one thing that is really the whole point of the whole thing. And that's worship and giving him praise. And if you haven't sensed that happening in your heart already, I mean, hey, we're still early in the month. I don't know how many shopping days are left. Are we, you know, how many days? 13 days, shopping days left. You better get busy. But before you get busy, you better worship. And I want to just draw your attention to two other instances of worship. And again, just make an application, because my prayer is that not only tonight, because we're going to respond to the message, obviously, by worshiping, because that's the only appropriate response, is to worship him. But my prayer is that you'll get your Bible out, you'll read the Christmas story, and you'll just allow the Spirit of God to wash over your heart and to touch you in a way that leads you to worship him in your time with him, and really put into perspective what this season is all about. One of the people we skipped over when we were making a quick journey through Luke is the mother of Jesus, Mary. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So would you notice my soul in verse 46 and my spirit in verse 47 are mentioned. Those are internal words, because they speak of the inner being. This is where worship originates. That it would come out of the inside. You know, worship is not necessarily listening to a sermon or coming to church. It can be, depending on what's happening in you as you do it. But if nothing is happening in you, then you're really just going through the motions, which is dead religion. When we divorce religious activity from a heart that's doing it in love for God, then we've missed the whole point entirely. Because true worship starts on the inside. I mean, Mary, she begins to burst out in this praise to the Lord. And what you have is her not just saying a few nice thoughts about God, but she's literally bursting with this intense, with this overwhelming overflow of praise to God. And it all springs out of her heart. Because that's what worship is. It's internally saying, God, I just, my heart is so full of you that I just have to praise you for who you are and for what you've done, and what could be better than the gift of his son to save us from our sin. God himself leaving the glory of heaven and living here. Can you imagine? And then there's another story in Matthew of worship, and it's the Magi in verse 2. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born the king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship." And maybe you wonder how the Magi would know about Jesus. How would people 850 miles away know about Jesus and know about the birth of a Savior? I mean, what's happening here? These are people who are in the Persian kingdom, the Parthian Empire. Why are they coming? If you go back in Daniel, we won't have time to look at it, but Daniel was the chief of the Magi. So this godly prophet Daniel is telling them about the coming king. And now, all those years later, they're watching, they're seeing. 6 centuries later, they're looking and they see the glory of God in the sky, and they know that it is a sign that the king of the universe has been born. And they understand too that it's a matter of worship, and their very act of traveling 850 miles says something about the personal sacrifice of worship. That there's something, because what happens is in our day and age, we're too inclined to say, if I feel like it, I'll do it. If I don't, I won't. But worship at times, what happens is when we do the right thing, we'll feel the right thing. That some people never really experience the worship that God would want them to, because they'll never open their mouth and give him the worship just from a heart of obedience that says, I'm doing this because you're asking it. And when you do that, then you'll feel worship rise up within you as the Spirit of God quickens your spirit. And they're coming and they're worshiping. And I honestly feel a little bit like I'm preaching to the choir, whether you're in this room or you're watching online. You're taking time because you value time in the presence of the Lord. That's why you're here. That's why you're watching online, because you do want to worship. But unless I miss my guests, there's some, and bless your heart, you're tired and you're busy and you're a bit frazzled and maybe worn out, and you maybe had the whole discussion, should we go or should we not, but you're here. And your sacrifice, getting the kids in the car and getting them in the door and getting them checked in and getting in here, that's a part of your offering of worship to him and saying, I'm doing it for you, Jesus. I'm doing it because I love you. I'm doing it because I want to honor you. And as you begin to just recognize he's the King of Kings, you'll feel his presence penetrate your heart. It's very interesting as you read on in the story. I don't have time to cover all of it. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They understood instantly when they see him. They understand this is about worship. And we learned something else about worship. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. Worship is about you and I giving ourselves to him. Worship's about, and the writer of Hebrews says, the fruit of our lips giving praise or giving thanks. I mean, if you decide, you know what, I'm not singing because I can't sing, what you're refusing to do is give God the gift of your worship vocally to him. You say, I can't sing. You can to him. You can to him. And really, we all have to understand, we're singing for an audience of one. We're not singing for our neighbor. We're not singing for our family. We're not singing for our friends. We're singing for him. And your voice is beautiful to him. And if you'll forget about yourself long enough to focus on him, you'll find that when you do that, that's the essence of worship. And God begins to do something in you that changes you, because worship changes us. That's the whole point of what you read in verse 12. It's very interesting. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You say, what does that mean? To us, it means very little, because we're not Jewish and we don't understand Jewish custom or Jewish thinking. But when you go to the synagogue, you go in one door and you go out another door. When you went to the temple, you went in one way, you came out another way. And what that was symbolic of is that you were leaving different. You left a different way because you had worshiped God and now you were different. That worship changes us. It changed them. And you can say, oh, well, they're going a different way because of all that. But the picture that a Jewish person would have understood, because Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience, they would have said, of course they left a different way. The worship of the king changed them. Do you realize when you leave tonight, you're different? You think different. You feel different. It's just so much a part of it that every Thursday morning, I'm different. I can feel it when I worship. When I have my time with the Lord, I'm different because I was in His presence on Wednesday night. But we worship on Sunday, and then people come back Sunday night, and they're ready. Why? Because they've been in the presence of the Lord. Because something happened Sunday morning that prepared them for Sunday night. And I'm just simply saying, you leave tonight, you're different. If you really worship, you walk out the doors, you're not the same as when you came in. You may think you're still facing the same problems, but you're different. You have the opportunity for a different perspective. You have the opportunity for a different peace. You have the opportunity for a different power. You have an opportunity for a greater presence. Some of you tonight, you're going to walk out the door, your knee's going to be healed. You're in the presence of the Lord. He's going to heal you. I just feel strongly that way. I felt that way as we were praying. And you know what? People are going to leave tonight. They're going to be healed. You're going to wake up tomorrow. You're going to be healed. But all of that to say, when you're in the presence of the Lord, things happen that change you.